Hello.
Good evening. This is Christopher Buck and
Marie-Lise.
And currently right now we are in presentation mode. We are going to be talking for about 5 minutes among ourselves and while we allow other people to join us. And then we will be getting started on the discussion of the stellar codes and this particular stellar code, Fermilab.
Yes. Fermilab is a very interesting stellar code because it's one of the four stars, the royal stars of the Persians, known to be the guardians or the watchers of the four quadrants of the universe. So it's related to Archangel Gabriel, but we will speak more about this later. And the importance of Fermilab is because it closes one entire cycle on the year with the mutable and fixed cross, which means, you know, the where we anchor ourselves in our own universe is depends strictly in how those four forces operate on the quadrants. So we went through attunements, initiations, and anchoring of energies of previously from Regulus, Aldebaran, Antares. We had Aldebaran as a gate to Antares, but now we're doing Fermilab. So we complete the four sequential most important stars.
The four royal stars, the Persian. But we'll get into a whole lot more about that as we get farther into the teleconference. For right now, I'd like to let everybody know if there's been some. We had to switch servers from one to the other because our website has grown and with all the material we've been putting in there. And so we experienced some serious growing pains over this past weekend, but the server has been switched and everything should be good to go. So if you were experiencing a little frustration trying to get in to look at some of the material, the website is up and running now just fine. And as a matter of fact, we've got the Fermilab Stellar Code Guidebook posted up in the Stellar Code section of the online university. So let's, Leoni, why don't, as we were talking here, let's talk briefly about what the stellar codes are in general.
Yes, the stellar codes are actually a way, I could, to define it very simply, you know, we always say there's two types of ascension schools on the earth right now. One of them is basically concerned of ascension with earth. And the other one is it's also concerned with Earth, but goes a little bit further than that, which is through the reactivation of our DNAs, but with the reconnection with patterns and I would say vibrations of our original matrix, which is the stars. Carl Sagan, you know, said that we are actually just star stuff. You know, we're cosmic material. And he was right. The all the human systems, all the human body system, I would say not only the physical system, but the extra-physical bodies, were all modeled upon the higher beings that inhabit the souls, the suns, yet are the stars.
Let me just interject real quick here. Well, some of the people think that when we're talking about Fermilab, we're talking about Antares or Cyrus, that we're actually talking about the Sirians, the extraterrestrials that dwell in that system. But it's what we're working with. This is esoteric philosophy, and we are working with the beings, the cosmic beings that manifest themselves as the solar logos of the particular stars in question, and they have certain qualities and attributes, which is what we are accessing.
We're not using or we're not referring them as gods. They're not. They all are part of this big orchestra of the universe, which is Maestro, is still be God. But God manifests himself, he express himself in levels, in different levels of consciousness. And if anybody is familiar, I'm going to just give a quick schematic idea here. If you are familiar with the Kabbalah or the Tree of Life, you have Keter, which is the crown, which where actually the first manifestation of God occurs, because God itself, it's not completely revealed to us specifically. He is beyond what you call the three veils of negative existence. We have some material over over our website that will explain how the negative existence, it's not negative because it's bad, it's negative because it didn't come to it's the positive manifestation.
It's unmanifested.
Going back to the scheme of the Tree of Life, you look at Keter, which is the first manifestation of God. You have levels downwards. You have the first triennial or triad up there, Keter, Shezed, and Hod, and then you come down in levels. If you look at this as umbrellas, because the energy of the pure energy that comes from God, it's so incredible, powerful, that you will need lenses to break down, and those break down and race, which you have like the cosmic rays, you have planetary rays, you have galactic rays, and beyond galactic rays, when you talk about the metacosmic universe, that it's even difficult to wrap your head around. But this energy is across those lenses as big umbrellas and decompose the energy of God in different levels of consciousness and manifestations. And each one of those rays give origin to beings. And they, in their turn, they become, you know, like the powerful archangels. And then they decompose once more to break it down to come to us or all the elements of our, you know, manifested plane of existence here on Earth or in other parallel universes and stuff. But the interesting thing about that is that as you break down that, you can see that some of those beings are the logos of stars, the fixed stars. The fixed stars are not planets. They are, you know, they in itself, they have their own system. They are like suns in their own solar systems, and they all have references and many writings of the ageless wisdom responding as being some powerful archangels, angels, and devic elements. They're part and have been part of all the process of transcendence of mankind. You know, so God has this huge orchestra and with many beings playing different frequencies, but all harmoniously creating and expanding and evolving the universe for the greatest good of all.
This is the music of the spheres, and these levels come all the way down from God or Source, all the way down to each of us.
The problem is, why God cannot send this energy directly? Because His energy and His love is so powerful that if it comes to us directly, it can destroy us. You know, it would afflict and destroy us immediately, because it's like the frequency is too high. And some frequencies you cannot perceive. You perceive through, you know, lenses or to, you know, even like to perceive molecules or to perceive atoms in the material or cells, you would need a special lens to see. This is how more or less the situation happens with the process of God's creation. So for those that think that we first, like Chris said before, we are referring to civilizations. We're not referring to civilizations, even though we humbly, respectfully acknowledge their presence as the Pleiadians, the Syrians, and all of them, but we are not working with them directly. We're working with the logos of their soul system, star system. And for those that think that we are maybe passing oh, the bull are coming to the old cults, are having beings or alternative beings instead of God. No, they all part of God creation, and they all those stars being vibrate strictly inside of the frequencies of Christ consciousness.
It's one of the things we're, or the mini courses, teleconferences, we really have to do one of these days, Leonie, is where we talked about the celestial hierarchy and how this all fits in. But tonight we're going to be talking about the Stellar Code Fomalhaut. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause for about 5 seconds, which gives us a nice place to find cut to the beginning for the recording, because there's a lot of people who won't be able to attend tonight. And then we'll start up with the Stellar Code this evening, and then afterwards we'll have a question-answer session, which should be primarily on this Stellar Code, but also Stellar Codes in general. And if we have time after that, we can ask general questions, but we're going to try to stay on topic tonight. So bear with us just a second. We're going to pause.